First thing I want to do is thank everyone who has remained here, because I think that the discussion that's gone on today has been very worthwhile, and oftentimes special orders is not the most popular portion of our calendar, and for those of you who have stayed, I really appreciate it. I think that what's been said here is very important to taking on the task that we have before us, which is the fiscal situation that we're facing. The OPEC meeting didn't turn out as I had hoped and prayed. And nevertheless, I don't think that it's time to panic. The reason I say that is I don't think that panic gets us anywhere. We have to be very deliberative in drawing up an economic plan for the future of the state of Alaska. And it means, Mr. Speaker, that we have a chance, I think, to do what I think is one of the biggest parts of our job and responsibilities in the legislature, and that is exercise some leadership. I think we need to turn our backs on the POMs that come bombarding in here on special interest issues. And I don't mean ignore them, because certainly the public has to understand and believe in what we're doing. But I mean that we are the ones who have the best information in order to make the decisions that have to be made. And it means setting aside politics. You see it all the time. Everybody, one political party or the other, wants to take credit for what's going on or what's not going on, or who's responsible for the budget going up, or who's done the most work on reducing the budget or had the best efforts towards that. And this year is, in my mind, and the conclusion I've come to, this is different than any year since I've been in the legislature. We've done a lot of talking. We've even made some, I think, significant changes and have been moving, really, in the right direction. But this is the first time that we're really going to have to exercise the type of leadership that I think we were elected to do. And, Mr. Speaker, certainly in this body we have a lot of different backgrounds. We have many different philosophies, and even occasionally there are some differences of opinion. When we look at the budget, we have to look at what the underlying policies are that drive the budget. What has driven us to have the highest increase in any of the states in our senior population? What drives that? And what costs do we have to add on because of that? They are significant. What has driven us to the point where in this state, 24% of the people on who are applying for the permanent fund dividend have been here less than 2 years? What drives that? What are the reasons that we're doing that? What programs do we have in this state that no other state even considers because they can't afford it? Mr. Speaker, I hope that this year we really will talk about what the real priorities of government are. What really are our priorities? You know, we passed an education bill and that increased the unit value, and some people were saying this is pie in the sky, we can't afford it. If education is truly a priority, we can afford it. We can afford the increase. And for me, education is a priority. It may mean making some very tough choices. It will mean making some very tough choices. And they're not going to be popular. I mean, you can't please the public by telling them no. You can't do it. So it may mean that as we go through this effort, which I think needs to be and has to be a bipartisan effort, that those of us who exercise leadership and try to show the way for an economic plan for the state of Alaska may not return. Mr. Speaker, we might not get reelected. But if we can accomplish something, it ought not really to matter. And certainly if we take us along the direction, in the right direction for this state, even if we don't return, perhaps it'll make it a little easier on the next legislature to say no, which has been so hard to do since we have had our pockets full of money due to our resource development. So I hope, Ms. Speaker, that we'll be light on rhetoric this year and heavy on substance, and I look forward to working with all of you as we put our financial plan together. I also want to touch briefly on the minority leader's comments, because I think that while there is frustrations on both sides of the economic development issue, we ought not to blame it on the environmentalists in whole. Certainly there is a regulatory balance that should be struck. both sides need to recognize that environmental concerns are very important to the people in the state. And to the minority leader, I just can't help but wonder if the people over and around Chernobyl didn't just wish there was maybe a little bit more oversight there, maybe a little bit more regulation. You know, that's the types of things that we streak or attempt to prevent. I gave a speech a couple of years ago on the floor about the Eastern Bloc, and when East Germany and West Germany were attempting to reunite, the single biggest issue in that reunification was the problems that they had with environmental problems in East Germany. That was the single, and the biggest growth industry in the Eastern Bloc countries is environmental mitigation. They have significant problems there. And the health problems that go along with that certainly are a tremendous, tremendous cost. So, Mr. Speaker, I think we need to be careful about where we lay the blame. Certainly this year in the budget process, and work together and lead this state hopefully in the right direction.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to just compliment everybody who has spoken here today, and I'm delighted that I stayed, because this is something that's been going around not only between myself and my family, but almost everybody that I talk to, whether I'm talking to a banker from down here at the First Bank, or talking to someone in the Chamber of Commerce, talking to one of the state employees, everybody is concerned about how we're going to handle what appears to be, at any rate, a catastrophe coming down the road, and when are you going to get to it? And I think the frustrations and I think constructive suggestions that have come forward in this group here shows me that we are up to the task. As my friend from Palmer has indicated, we're not a poor state. We're not really in that poor of a condition. We have a tremendous major account called the Permanent Fund, and it's feeding off $1 billion a year in income. And those monies are going into the hands of a lot of people and circulating around the economy. I never have viewed the success or failure of an economy on the basis of how much tax money it accrued to government. But rather, the real measure, I think, of a healthy economy is how many billions of dollars that it puts into the hands of working people throughout the state of Alaska, whether it comes from the sale of their fish or cutting timber or working for the state government or a local government or just anything else. And I think what we have to do, and incidentally, as I read it, for a very small population state, $16 billion is a figure that circles in my mind. I may be off on that somewhere along the line, but I think there's a tremendous amount of money that is circling around in the state of Alaska. And we get a tremendous amount of money from the sale of our oil. And I hope at any rate that we can maximize the recovery from that field up there. I hope that we can balance the those protective measures to make certain that we don't have catastrophic spills and things of this nature without going overboard and actually incurring costs that we just simply don't have to incur. So that takes measured judgment, and I think we're up to that measured judgment. One of the concerns that I sense at any rate is that we are just about on the verge of either swinging over into major taxes or diving into the permanent fund or using up all of our reserves or doing what I think we have to do, and that is coming in and beginning to reapportion the spending plan for the state of Alaska. And the way we do that, unfortunately, rests, at least in our process, into the hands, basically speaking, of a small number of us here in the finance committees. And it would be helpful, I think, if we were all able to gather together as a committee of the whole and take a hard look at the overall plan and some major prioritization, at least general prioritization, and then lay it back into the committee structures to begin to try to find out how to make it all fit. Because we are never going to satisfy all of those people that call upon my office and yours who stop me down on the street and do the job we have to do here, if the revenues are really as down as they predict to be. And I just have to tell everyone here is that there's no way that we're going to be able to tax ourselves out of a depression. No way. Anytime you create taxes, in almost any other instances, they should go to producing new job opportunities, not simply to sustain pass-through type of funding. And so somewhere along the line, we've got to bite that bullet, and I think we have an awful lot to learn there. I compliment everybody for their talk here today. I know we're all sincere. This bipartisan thing has just simply got to go beyond us here, and I think we're going to be forced to do that, and I'm ready to join everybody else on both sides of the aisle here to make that happen. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's been very stimulating.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent. We stand in adjournment till 10 a.m. on Friday.
10 a.m. Friday.